Thank you for tuning in to Lighten Up with Jen and Sherry. This show is an invitation to let go of what's holding you down, laugh more, and love like crazy. If you've tuned in live to this episode, please call in now and be a part of the show. Our number is area code 646-200-0825. And now, flying solo for today is our hostess, Jen.
Hello, and welcome to the show. I am Jen Halterman, and I'm very happy to be with you today as we talk about relationships another time. This is the fifth in a series of shows that's all about relationship and the energy and vibration of relationship and our aliveness. And, wow, it's been really a powerful series for myself. It has had a big impact on Sherry and I as we are always in the process of exploring our own personal aliveness and our own personal processes. And so as we dive into any topic, we always know that there's going to be something in it for us to learn. And this has been one of those topics that talking about relationships while you're in relationship, it's going to bring stuff up. And it has been so amazing. And I'm so thankful. I'm so appreciative of the place that Sherry and I are in to be willing to go through what we go through and to show up with each other and not be in denial or not shut it down or whatever that is. And so I have huge appreciation for her. She's not on the show today officially, but I get to say that anyway because I am. It is very nice to have a co-creator as a partner who is willing to step into the tough stuff and get accountable and show up and call me on my stuff and have me support me in being accountable and all of that. So that is where I am. Today's show comes from, it's kind of a way to wrap up the topic, but it also comes from a couple messages that I received from listeners that were expressing some confusion, some expressing frustration, some expressing a lot of denial. And really, I toyed with, how do I want to do this? And Sherry and I had already talked about what I thought, who am I to think this when I'm co-creating with the universe, but what I thought that the show would be on. And then I read a note that I had received, a message I had received, and it really brought awareness that I have more to address. And that is that I understand the feeling of being powerless in a relationship. I recognize it. I have been there. I have believed it. And when I received the note, especially one of them, that asked to be kept private, I'm not going to read it anyway, but, you know, it really brought to my awareness just how vulnerable and tender that space is when we believe we have no say and we have no voice and we have no power, that somebody else has all the say and all the power. And so I want to gently acknowledge that I understand I have been there and I used to believe that too. I used to believe that I could not be happy until I got what my husband needed to change, what I got from him by him making that change. I used to believe that, if somebody held all the cards, if they held all the power in the money, if they held all the power in, you know, the final say as the leader of the household, if they held all the power because of family dynamics or religious beliefs, or I get that, I understand. And I hope that you will stay with this topic, that you'll listen to the show as we peel back some of those layers, because I don't believe that anymore. I don't believe that everybody is powerless in every situation. I do believe, even in the most horrific situations, you know, hostages and all that stuff, when you're like, they have no power. You know where their power is? Their power is in how they choose to react to that situation. You're right. In those extremes, I'm talking about relationship here. I'm talking about you're dating somebody. I'm talking about you're married to somebody. And yes, there is absolute abuse and there's rejection and there's, you know, that sense of being controlled by others. Maybe somebody controls, I don't know, the car. So maybe you feel like you don't have transportation, or maybe there's a money control issue, or whatever that is. I understand all that, and I believe you are more powerful than you are giving yourself permission to recognize. And here's one of the reasons why I believe that. I believe, and this is just according to Jen, and I'm willing to be wrong, and if you think this doesn't apply to your situation, if you believe this doesn't apply to your situation, that's okay, but just maybe listen, okay? Just listen. I believe the stronger you fight to prove you are powerless in a situation, which means the more you tell the story your powerlessness, the more you gossip about the powerlessness, the more you engage in believing and telling everybody how powerless you are, I believe you are creating and contributing. You're actually contributing to that belief of your own of powerlessness. I truly do believe that. And so when I have somebody, when I have an experience with somebody, and they go to great lengths to explain their powerlessness, they're showing me how powerful they truly are. They may not recognize it, but it is there. And so I'm going to be talking from that aspect. If you don't like that aspect, don't listen to the show. But if you're curious, if you're like, hey, what? You mean there might be some power? You might want to keep listening. And if you are in a situation where you're like, oh, this person is frustrating me and they act like such a whiny victim, you need to listen to this show too. You do. Why? Because there's some wisdom in this for you. So this is not about the victim being bad. This is not about victim mentality. However, this is about if you have that victim perspective, you can change it. I've talked about there's so many layers to this. Yeah, there's a comment I got through chat. We feel so empowered when we first meet our mate, and then we lose ourselves. It feels like Ariel in The Little Mermaid. I love that. What is that about, right? Like, why is it that we get into that honeymoon, that, oh my gosh, I met you and you're perfect and this is so great and da-da-da-da-da and I'm so powerful and you love me exactly the way I am. And then next thing you know, you're repeating an old pattern, or you feel like you don't have power, or you feel like they're trying to gain power, whatever that is. Yes, that happens. And when we look at the alignment of the energy that you're putting out there, okay, if you look at that and you think, gosh, what happened? I was so empowered when I got in this relationship. I felt like I would be adored the rest of my life. And now here I am begging for his attention. What happened? Well, it's in your energy. And that's why we're doing the show. So hang with me here. Let's get through this. Let's not give up on the topic, because it's within your energy that happened. We do the weirdest things. We screw up the most amazing things, not even knowing it half the time, because we are in denial about what's in our energy, and we so want it to be about somebody else. Okay? So let's talk about this victim thing. I spoke the other day, but I want to introduce it. The concept of drama, okay? Drama is just simply when you get into a fear or anger reactionary state, and it's adrenaline-based, and you go into this space of needing to be right, and you're willing to fight to be right, and everybody's jockeying for position. So there's no more equality, there's no more harmony, you're not in balance, you're just jockeying for being right. And usually it has some key players, a victim, a villain, and a hero. And you can play more than one role, by the way. You can totally be the villain and then the hero, just so you feel really important. And you can be the victim and turn into a monster and become the villain in a heartbeat. So this can play out. This plays out within ourselves. Our limiting belief plays us out. Our ego plays us out. It's all possible. but it plays out in our relationships, and that's what we're talking about. So if you've got this going on within you, and you've got this adrenaline from drama, which yesterday I mixed up my words and made a new word of adrenaline, adrenaline kick from engaging in drama, adrenaline. I need t-shirts with that on it. I'm just saying, trademark that. If you're in that space, the weird thing is, even if this is like a man with a really strong ego and he wants to be the provider and da-da-da-da-da, guess what? The victim role gets the most adrenaline. Being the victim of, even I do so much for you and you don't appreciate me. Boom, victim. Hit of that adrenaline, you know, adrenaline. And so as you consider this, just see where you, like, oh, I totally slide into victim when I go home to see my parents, or I slide into victim when I'm around my in-laws, or whatever it is. Just pay attention to it and see what comes up. Be open to the feedback. So a victim mentality blocks possibility. So if you are in a situation, you're saying, why am I so disempowered? Why does my life suck? Why are they always picking on me? And you feel you are at the effect of something, at the effect of, you have shut yourself down to any possibilities. So there's nothing as new is revealed to you as available for you. It is all closed off, limited, and it's based on what you know and what you are believing in that moment. Okay? So victim mentality is like putting on a pair of glasses. Everything you see is through the filter of, it's being done to me. I am at the effect of. Okay? Villain. I'm going to do to you. I'm going to do to others. Nobody's going to do to me. It has that energy to it. And hero, I'll save you. I'll fix it. I'll be your answer. I'll be your voice, I'll be your everything. Okay, it has many different variations. I don't want to go into all the variables of it. You can figure it out for yourselves. I trust, so yeah, okay? But if we block the possibilities by seeing ourselves as a victim, then we cannot be the instigator of change in that situation. I'm going to say that again. If we block out all possibilities by putting on a filter of, I have to be right, and engaging in drama, especially the victim, we are limiting ourselves from actually having new information come to us so we can be the instigator of the change we are saying we want. That is why this is in your vibration. That is why this is so clearly something that is available for you to make changes in. So the most empowering thing, here's number one, if you feel disempowered in any aspect of your relationship, which means you feel you have no say and you have no control over it, okay? The biggest thing for you to watch for is there any area of your life that you go to, I am right about this. I am right about how screwed up they are. I'm right about how mentally ill they are. I'm right about how stupid they are. I'm right about how mean they are. Anything that you're like, I'm right about this, right there, you have blocked off your power. You have shut down and made yourself powerless, because our power to create and be of a great contribution to something comes by being able to tap into more than just our limited perspective at the moment. And so we need that perspective of possibility. We need that expansion. And so to keep your perspective open is actually one of the places where your power, your personal power, is held. Ta-da! There it is, right over there, sparkly bits. It's in the land of open to possibilities. Okay, so that's one of the big things to watch for. If you notice that you shut down, if you notice, oh, I know I'm right. What are you talking about? Of course I'm right. I'm experiencing it. It's true. Understand, there are other perspectives, which means there's other possibilities, And if you're committed that yours is the only way, you're shutting things down. Okay? Let's see. Trying to stay on track. I made myself a little line because I can go off on huge tangents in this. Okay? So let's go back to this energy thing. You are always experiencing the match to your energy. Now, listen to that carefully, even if it pisses you off initially. You are always experiencing the match to your energy. And let me explain that. If you are saying, no, I'm not. My energy is I am a positive person. I'm very happy. I am not experiencing the match because somebody is grumpy. That is not a match for me. No, I don't believe that. You are matching your energy, and within all energy is all the contrast of that energy. So you may say, I'm really positive, and my partner, my spouse, my whatever is really negative. So that's not right. They're wrong. I'm right. I'm choosing positivity. Do you see what a straight blade that is to create division? Okay? And so if you go into that space of judgment, or cutting it off, no power. Judgment creates separation, and it creates further separation. So the longer you stay in that, the more you become accustomed to being right about that topic, the further separated you are. Okay? And in relationships, that's toxic. That is really toxic for you to be categorizing somebody as wrong. All right? Because once the ego gets a hold of that wrongness and you're there in the drama, boy, that wrongness can really go run rampant, okay? So you may resist that your energy is matching another. I get it. It may be the opposite of your desires. It may be a nudge that there needs to be a change, and it may be a universal 2x4. All those things are possible. But here's the deal. You wouldn't be experiencing it if it wasn't in your vibration. And let me give you an example of that. I have been in social settings where we were all sitting in an environment of just nature. We're sitting outside. People are, you know, a glass of wine in the hand, da-da-da. And for the most part, everybody there was keenly aware of nature. Very aware of nature, very aware there was a common thread or a common belief that nature is a messenger for everybody there, except for there was a couple in the space who were very, they were not open. They did not think there were messages. They were very committed to being right, that there is no higher power. Their nature is just, you know, science, it has no message, it's all a bunch of accidents. That was their perspective. And so as we were all sitting there talking, one of the people that was present said that one of the things that they missed most about a parent who had died was that the parent always loved birds, and the birds would come and they would actually line up on the windowsill and they would eat strawberries. And this person would take some of the strawberry, like the stem part, hold the stem, bite off strawberry, but her thing was leave a little bit for the birds. So she would leave a little bit of the fruit on the stem, and she would lay it in her windowsill, and the birds would come to her windowsill and actually munch on it and nibble on that, okay? So that was her interaction, and she was saying how sweet that was, and that was one of the nostalgic things that she missed about this situation. So we're all sitting around, and there are birds flying overhead. There are birds everywhere. And next thing you know, in the lap of that lady that talked about the strawberry stem, blah, 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 a bird flew overhead and dropped the stem of a strawberry in her lap. Now, the rest, okay, so this group sees something drop in her lap, and everybody's like, what? And she's picking up going, what was that? Well, the two people who don't believe nature delivers messages literally stood up and said, "That's it. I'm not getting shit on by a bird," and walked into the establishment. Did not ask what it was, nothing. Just like, "Oh, that's it. I hate nature. This is why I hate nature." Got up, went in. "We're going to go get a table inside." They went inside. The rest of us like, "What was that?" And she picks it up, and it's a bit of a strawberry and a stem. And she's got huge tears. She's like, "Oh, my God, look at what just happened. Holy crap." And, of course, the rest, you know, those of us who are there who believe messengers, everybody's like, "Can you believe that happened? This is amazing. What an amazing gift. What an amazing message to come through." We were all in awe, those of us who do believe that nature speaks to us, okay? So we go inside, conversation dies down outside, da-da-da. We finish up because it wasn't a group where we had to be together or whatever. We just didn't want to go inside. We chose not to go in and join the table that they had gone to. So it's a few days later. We're still within the vicinity with these people, and we are at another event. And the same people are there standing around kind of a fire pit. And the couple that doesn't believe in signs is telling the story of sitting out on the patio when that woman got shit on by a bird. She's like, "No, I didn't." "Well, yeah, we saw it. We were there." "No, it dropped a piece of strawberry." "No, it didn't. We saw it. It shit on you. Da, 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 da." They literally could not see anything other than their truth. They didn't hear, it didn't matter what anybody said. What they experienced was so limited to their perspective that there was no other possibility. And here's the piece about this. People cannot hear what doesn't match their judgment. People cannot hear what doesn't match their judgment. So if you are in a space and within a relationship and there is judgment going on that's creating separation, there's a judgment that says you're less than me because I make the money. There's a judgment that says, you know, I'm more powerful than you because I can yell louder. There's a judgment there. They cannot, no matter what. They cannot hear it. They cannot perceive it if it does not match their judgment. Okay? So what judgment is in your energy? If you have a judgment in your energy that says, "I am powerless," you will not be able to hear, perceive, or receive how powerful you are. Because that judgment's in your power. It's in your being. That judgment is blocking your being. You cannot hear it. You can't even comprehend it. Do you get that? Can you? I know. It's so fascinating to me how on different days I've got chat messages coming up, and on other days I've got the chat room will be flying. Other days the phone lines are full, and I've got messages coming from all weird places today. I didn't know that somebody was emailing me, so I see you now. Thank you. And so if we can understand what I'm saying is, if it's in your being, you will experience it. You will experience, you'll attract proof of what you believe is true. And I talked about this on earlier shows. So if you believe it's true that men have all the power, because maybe you were raised in a, you know, household that said that men were powerful, or maybe it's a generation thing or society or whatever it is, what you will do is you will attract proof of that being true because it's in your vibration. And sometimes when your vibration says it's time that you have a wake-up call, it's time for you to make a change, because you're not getting that you don't have to be in this judgment. You don't have to live in this conclusion. You don't have to keep experiencing all this proof. It'll give you a situation that you complain about a lot. And you will complain about it until it gets uncomfortable enough that you do something about it, or you make a change, or you take an action, or maybe you hear a show that somebody's talking about it, or maybe you get, you know, a book gifted to you that starts bringing awareness to that there is something different. There is something possible. There is something different. And so when I say what you're experiencing is within your vibration, and if you want it to change, it's because you have to change your vibration in order to make that change. Let's go back to the example of we got in a new relationship, you adored me, now all of a sudden you don't. I understand. I thought you were different than all my other exes who didn't adore me. What happened? Your judgment and conclusion started making sure that you were right. Your judgment and conclusion started giving out that vibration to say, nobody adores me this much. Nobody loves me this much. Nothing good lasts forever. It vibrates and vibrates and vibrates until you start getting proof again that you're right. People do not love you forever. You're right. People do not adore you. You're right. They're going to treat you just like everybody else has. That is why when I say, if you want to change your life, it's in your vibration, it's in your energy, it's in your beliefs, and it's in your judgment. And it's only up to you to make the changes. I have been in, oh gosh, friendships and siblings and, you know, partners and all kinds of things where I've witnessed relationships that are unhealthy or toxic or whatever it is that they perceive to be, okay? I've seen it where somebody is getting the hell beat out of them and they just keep saying, oh, yeah, they just keep choosing back in, you know? I've witnessed people in relationships with sociopaths and narcissists and they just keep, oh, yeah, they just keep staying in it and they want that person changed so bad. And it's like, what, wait a minute, why is it up to them to change? Why don't you just get out? And the truth of the matter is they can't get out until they're done with that vibration. And if they do get out and they're not done with that vibration, they will go right into another situation where that vibration will be matched and where it will be met, and they will be validated again that they need that vibration in their experience. This is why we are so powerful, you guys. We are always, always attracting exactly what matches us. And we are always co-creating our lives. We have so many people and energies and animals and, you know, I mean, nature and science that will line up and resonate to give us exactly what it is we are saying we match, not what we need and want. But we are resonating with, this is my match. This is my vibration in the world. Send me everything that vibrates with that. And so if you've got a situation, you're like, why does this keep happening? What's going on? Well, check your vibration. Why is that happening? What is going on? What is happening that your vibration would call in yet another abuser? That your vibration would call in yet another extremely depressed person, that your vibration would call in yet another job situation where you appear to be lied to and you can be the victim of? What's in your vibration that's happening? Okay, and here's the big thing. It's not really the big thing, but it's a big piece of it. How do you know what's in your vibration? That's the question. I see you. How do you know? How do you know what's in your vibration? What do you complain about the most? What do you fret about the most? Just think about that. In your relationship specifically. What's like your biggest whether you say it out loud or not, even if it's just in your head, what's your biggest complaint? What do you bitch about? What do you worry about? What'd you get? Next, what do you avoid the most? That has a lot of energy on it. What do you avoid the most? Oh my gosh. Whew. Do you avoid conflict? You avoid conflict. Let's start with that example. please understand if you're like, well, of course I avoid conflict. Who likes to fight? I don't like to fight. I don't want to fight. Of course I'm going to avoid conflict. Okay, great. Please understand if you have in your vibration that I'm going to avoid conflict, you will draw to yourself all possibility of the expression of conflict, the avoiding of, the engagement with, the passive aggressive, the outright aggressive. You're going to bring in all of it because it's in your vibration. You see, avoiding something still sends out conflict. That sucks, right? So what do you do? I'm not going to get to that yet. Just be with it. Like, what do you, don't go into judgment. Don't, I got to get rid of this. Oh. Just be peaceful with it. What do you avoid? Being alone. Being alone is a big one. So how these things can come up, if it's in your energy, I don't want to be alone, is you can settle for being with people that are abusive. You can be needy. You can be stalkerish. You can set up and manipulate people that you're in need of them and they need to come and help you. You can also create people that need you to help them so that you're always in demand. You're always needed. People are always calling on you. So you don't have to be alone. Because whatever it is you're avoiding, you're going to get all aspects of it. Okay? Okay. Another common one is hurting feelings. Dun, dun, dun. Yeah. Hurting feelings is a big one. I don't want to have that conversation because I don't want to hurt their feelings. They didn't mean to be an asshat. They didn't mean to give that impression. I don't want to hurt their feelings, so you're not going to say anything. So it's going to continue on. What's the vibration here? I put my needs below somebody else's? Yep, that's in that vibration. I'm not courageous enough to take action in the face of discomfort, mine or another? Yep, that's in that vibration. Yeah, I don't want to hurt feelings. Yeah, guess what's in that vibration? You're not living your life. You're living your life according to somebody else's comfort zone. That's not your life. That's theirs. You're basing your actions on somebody else's comfort or discomfort. Yuck. That is where people will say they are powerless, but it's not true. You have the power to change that situation. Damn it, Jen. Okay. How about standing on your own? Are you avoiding standing on your own? How about disappointing others?
Yeah.
Family?
Yeah.
No. The avoidance of judgment, being judged, being criticized, being overexposed. Yeah. So are you taking action or thinking you can't take action because somebody else might judge it? So are you trying to manage what people think of you? So is it your business to be aware of what everybody thinks of you? So you don't feel uncomfortable, and nobody likes to be judged. I really like that statement. That's a nice conclusion to come to. Nobody likes to be judged. Actually, some people do like to be judged. They go into competition, so they will be. The fear of judgment is actually a big fear of feedback. It's a fear of being wrong. It can also be a fear of the spotlight and being right, but that's another flip side of the same coin. Do you see how many facets there are to this? That's why I can't be in one. I can't narrow this downward. It is so up to you guys to listen and apply this to yourself, okay? A big thing is avoiding making a mistake, and that piggybacks on the other of, you know, I don't want to be wrong. So how do you know when you're in this? What are some of the clues that you are giving your power away? One of the fastest telltale signs as to when somebody is choosing to be powerless, from my perspective, okay, this is just Jen observing everyday life, and that is when somebody says yes when they mean no, and they say no when they mean yes. How many of you have witnessed that? That you can relate to that? Yeah. Saying no when you mean yes, because it ties into that whole other thing that I just went through. I don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. Well, I know they like it, so I said yes because I know that's there. It's like going out to dinner and the waiter comes up. Hey, you've been given a free dessert. Pick anything you want. And you see, say you see an apple crisp on the menu. That's an option. But you know the person you're with prefers chocolate. And so you say, I want chocolate. And the person goes, oh, really? I want chocolate too. And you go, yeah, I know. It's your favorite thing. Let's get chocolate. Did you know that you're making yourself less powerful in that situation? Because you didn't have it is an honoring to say to that person, I love apple crisp and I know you love chocolate. And they go, yes, I do. You didn't have the respect for them to say, what would we like to decide on? Because sometimes you might come up with an and. The waiter might go, oh, you can each get your own. You don't even know because you didn't give that option a possibility. You went to conclusion of, I'll sacrifice. I'll get apple crisp, even though I know they want chocolate. Or I won't get apple crisp. I'll have the chocolate because I know they like the chocolate. That's what I meant to say. I can't even, it's so funny how my words just match what I would think. I love it. Okay, so then you're in the situation of, yeah, we always get chocolate. What happened 6 months later, you get in the damn fight, and what comes out is, you always get your way. The person's like, what? You always get your way. What are you talking about? You always get chocolate. You like chocolate. We always have chocolate. When's it my turn for apple crisp? And that person's looking at you going, you can have apple crisp anytime you want. I actually like apple crisp, but you always insist on giving me chocolate. It is such a trick. It is a trick. We buy into it. We play into it. And why? Because we're avoiding conflict. Because we're afraid of disappointing another. It's just chocolate versus apple crisp. But how many of you guys have played this out? That's a telltale sign. Actually, it's a big sign. As if somebody gives their power away. Because you might both talk about, well, okay, so here's the deal. We got apple crisp. We got, chocolate. Great, what do we want? Well, I really like apple crisp. I really like chocolate. Well, maybe we're just going to buy one of the desserts. We'll each have what we want. Or maybe it's like, you know what? Actually, even though I do like apple crisp, how about at this time we do this? Because we're going to go to that other place, and they have really good apple crisp. I will get it there. Okay. See, when you seek the and, what can we co-create together? It doesn't mean you always get your way, but it does mean you at least express yourself. Start there. Who says that saying, I really love apple crisp, is a deal breaker? If it is for somebody and you're not saying that because it's a deal breaker for them, you got to consider what else are you selling out to be with that person. It's not that big a deal, but so many of us do it on the little stuff. Very, very teeny tiny insignificant aspects of selling out. Saying your opinion is more important than mine. What you like is more important than what I like. What you prefer is more important than what I prefer. That is one of the fastest ways that we sabotage that relationship that starts out so strong, and all of a sudden we become Ariel and the Little Mermaid, like the message said earlier in the show. All of a sudden we start giving our power away. We are the ones putting the blocks, the bricks, the restrictions on ourselves when we do not stay clear in our clarity of speaking up for ourselves, of being engaged, of being clear, of choosing honoring behavior that is holding everybody in the relationship in high regard. When we don't choose that, when we step out of that, we are the ones who are binding ourselves. Being a peacemaker, a peacekeeper, somebody who always is trying to manage everybody that gets along is actually a very binding, energetically binding experience. Because everybody isn't in their honoring of holding their self in high regard, holding others in high regard. Oh, she might have a tantrum over this if somebody tells her no. Well, what about that tantrum? Could be a gift to all of us. What about her not getting her way? Could actually be a gift to everybody in this situation. What about that am I not aware of? And then let things unfold and co-create with what's available to you. This is why it's so clear. It is a really clear indicator of what's in your vibration, what's in your energy that's ready to be clear. If you're avoiding it or if you're justifying it, those are the hot topics that need to be addressed first. If you're avoiding it or if you're justifying it, top of the list right there. That's feedback. That's what's ready to be addressed, be cleared. I'm avoiding asking for what I need or what I want or what I prefer. Yep, time to look at that. Because sometimes it does come from our childhood, like we talked about last week with the jealousy. And sometimes it's like something happened when we were four that programmed us that we thought, okay, if I don't ask for what I want, I won't get called I'm selfish. I won't be put in timeout. I won't have to watch other people get what they wanted because I was asking for too much. So now for the rest of my life, I'm not going to ask for what I want, what I need. I'm not going to ask for seconds ever. Instead, what I do is I make sure nobody ever sees me eat. I make sure I sneak everything. I lie about everything, and then I'm a closet eater. Like, hello, watch that tumble downhill. Okay? And see how that plays out in relationships. This is what happens in our energy. We get exactly what we need. Always. Why do you need it? Because it either is in alignment with you or it is contrast that's ready to be cleared. That's how you know. We have clarity in our awareness of what's going on in our life as what wants to happen, and we watch shit unfold that we had no idea was going to unfold. But it's up to you. How are you going to address it? Look at that. I'm going to bring a caller on the air. I wonder, who could be calling in with a contribution to this conversation? Hey, Sherry.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm awesome. I just, I couldn't be quiet any longer. Everything you just depicted is my entire week, and I will be brief, and this is so true that we do attract things. Mm-hmm. I had a huge awareness in a conversation with you that brought up, I'm just going to be very transparent, jealousy. You're not jealous. I had jealousy issues, and my whole week we had a conversation and we tumbled through it, and I had a clear understanding and got accountable. And what happened is my entire week this week, every single day, I kept asking what else was possible because I wanted greater clarity to move through this. And every day something was brought before me that I was attracting it. I did say I want to choose into my own alignment and step into my power. I got to bring up where I made it okay. One instance was making it okay for someone else to be a part of a group that wasn't really contributing. And it was dishonoring the group. And I was dishonoring myself by not speaking up. So I spoke up and I handled it. And you know what? That person went away a little upset, feelings hurt. But I couldn't. It was more powerful for me to step into the truth of the situation than to ignore it. And then the next day, another instance of me. I had hurt feelings from a conversation a long time ago, almost a year ago. with a good friend and stepping into those hurt feelings and say, I was hurt, acknowledging my part in it and what I didn't do so that I could bring, so I could have all this scattered energy that's been spinning around me. I'm attracting it so I can handle it. And it's been a most, it's been a very tender week. It's been a very powerful week. And every day something was, you know, what else? What else do I need to address? And it came to me, and I stepped into it. And, you know, all along the way I've had great support in stepping into it. And, you know, another day I just remembered, I listened to another friend's radio show, and I'm like, okay, I'm just going to take a breath and remember what's true for me. And it was my way of getting back in alignment with my own personal self, and it was so revealing and powerful. And you know, I guarantee you will attract the things that you do need to address, whether you want to address them or not. And good for you if you address them. And I don't know if you want to add anything. I'm kind of getting. I'm like, oh shit! I just like pulled back the curtain of the Wizard of Oz. I'm like, oh no. Anyway, so I might turn
into
rambling. Are you
feeling vulnerable?
I'm feeling very vulnerable. Yeah, I'm very vulnerable.
Okay, so would you take a breath, and I'll just talk for a minute, and we'll connect.
Sure. Yep.
Okay. I love this, and thank you, Sherry. I love having my co-host call in, you know. I love the days that Sherry joins me when she's not scheduled to, because this is an ongoing conversation in our life, and I want to speak to what she's just revealed that she feels vulnerable about from this space of, you know, there's something I've said many times, and I say it kind of jokingly with a smirk on my face, not a scowl. And that is, be careful what you ask for. And the reason that I'm not scowling, like, you better be careful what you ask for, because sometimes we ask for something, we have no idea all of the hooks and tethers and sneaky, subtle ways we're in denial of how that's showing up in our life. And so when I say, be careful what you ask for, when Sherry and I had our own personal, very personal, at home, nobody around, the two of us, and we're in this shakedown over jealousy. It's like, wait, what's going on here? I don't even know what this is. Hold on. This is jealousy. Oh, okay, so what does this all have to do with? And it actually did not have to do with any obvious expression of jealousy. And the only way that we got to that, and I'm going to be 100% freaking honest here, is when we were in that space, I was very clear that I could not start attacking the expression of the drama. I had to stay very clear when Sherry did go into some drama stuff, and I had to stay very clear of drama gets expressed through words and actions and deeds, okay? It's adrenaline-based. It's very physical. And I wanted to stay very clear. I am not going to engage in these things. I wanted to hold that space. And that space is, oh, you are expressing that you are really uncomfortable. You are really upset. You are in a lot of struggle right now. I can see it. It's coming out. I get it. And I just it was just such a horribly painful thing to witness and go, I don't even know what this is, but I know you're miserable and I'm here and I love you. And then there came a moment where there was, okay, now we're crossing boundaries. Now we're not honoring each other. We've engaged in the drama together. And we had to do the pull back. We had to get accountable quick. And say, I'm out. Nope, I'm off. No more drama. Yep, engaged. Now I'm stepping out of it. And what that looked like was ending a conversation in that moment, right at that second. Like, boom, we're out of that conversation. Okay? The reason that that is so powerful is everybody can do that.
Mm-hmm.
I know when somebody's raging, You've been in it, Sherry, so have I. When somebody is raging and they're physically abusive or they are verbally slaughtering you and all that's going on, I know it's hard and you may feel like that. And I don't know all the tricks that you're going to need in your specific dynamic, but you can not engage with that. You can sit and or leave the situation or whatever that is, and it might freak him out. I mean, you go from somebody who's having a temper tantrum and using their words and maybe their fists about it, and all of a sudden you're walking out of the space, it might turn into attack of, I knew you'd leave me, and that might be your hot button, I don't abandon, and blah, blah, blah. And it can be messy, and I'm telling you that. But the magic came when Sherry said, this is mine, I am going to clean it up. I want to address whatever it is that keeps this in place, because it was coming out between she and I, and it wasn't she and I. It was Sherry. Sherry recognized, and this isn't a shame on you, this is actually you being freaking powerful, that you recognized you had been playing this jealousy thing out for a long time, and it was time you started addressing it. And we even had to the point of, like, conversation, like you said, a year ago, a conversation that had caused an upset suddenly got addressed. And, I ended up in a social setting where somebody that had been avoiding you, openly admitted avoiding you for a long time, showed up in my space. Like, it was amazing. It shows what a powerful co-creator we are when we say, show me where I am playing this out so I can clean it all up. Mm-hmm. Because it's like you're sniffing tethers that are tying you to that fear, that belief, or that, whatever that is that's limiting you inside.
Yes, and, and to speak from the other, was it fun to go through? No, but I have such greater clarity and I feel way more powerful. And every day as I faced into something, I got stronger and stronger. And, it was what I will speak to this. It's, I'm going to get a little tender here. It was a place where I really realized where I dishonored my own needs for whatever reason, the lack of someone else. And when I honor myself, I then can truly honor our relationship and what it brings to my life. But every day when I stepped into it, it was like, no, this is right for me. This is call it the commitment I had, or cleaning up the desire and the commitment. I was very strong-headed about, no, I want to see where this is in my life. And in it, what has happened in my heart, I told you last night, is there's a place of vulnerability, a wider space of vulnerability in my heart. And, one of my values that I hold very near and dear is compassion, not only for others, but really having the compassion for myself to step in and do some uncomfortable things so that my heart and my compassion can be and can express fully.
Yes. Absolutely. Yes. This is where you are so powerful. Every single one of you listening, you are so powerful. To be willing to go into your vulnerability, to go into your soft space, go in your scared space and say, I'm going to start taking different actions. I'm going to speak up. It takes courage. It takes that commitment to taking action, even in the face of this. But you're already a co-creator. Look at the drama you're co-creating. Fabulous. Awesome. Look how powerful you are. It really is something to acknowledge. And if you can create that, just imagine what you can create when you stop accidentally going with your old programming and energy and vibration and clean it up intentionally so you can intentionally take powerful steps forward. You can directly engage in what it is you want to experience. That is where you are so powerful if you let yourself be. So believing that we're a victim, and Sherry, you and I have both been in crappy relationships where we didn't see how powerful we were or how we were going to get out of it. And one of the things that I tell everybody is you will know when you have changed because you're taking action towards the change, not justifying and taking action back into the old behavior and comfort zone of misery that you know and you're familiar with. You will know you have cleared your energy when those possibilities open up to you. Like I was saying earlier, when we go into victim, we shut off possibility. When we go into drama, we shut off possibility. All we want is to be right. So when you start saying, oh my gosh, I have so many possibilities available to me. I got out of drama. Like, oh my gosh, I'm seeing possibilities now. That is worth celebrating. And I always tell my clients, if you find a new possibility, go take that possibility out to ice cream or whatever it is. Like, go do something to let that possibility know, I hear you. I see you. Thank you for showing up to reflect to me that my energy is open to possibilities. This is fabulous. And do something to acknowledge it physically, because that anchors in that you're willing to receive and engage in new possibilities, especially in your relationship. Yeah, it's juicy. Thank you for calling in, Sherry.
Thank you. I got the nudge. So
thank you. I'm glad you did. I appreciate that. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So as you are listening to that, if you're feeling that, what is it? What's got your attention? A lot of you, I do appreciate the messages of aha and frustration and all those things. You can always email me at lightenupwithjen@gmail.com. Go to jenhalterman.me, and there's a place that you can send me a message there on my website. But to give yourself permission to recognize where you are, sometimes, and this may sound a little crazy, but I'm going to put this out there for somebody needs it. And here's what it is. If you say, I have been in this drama pattern, I've been in this behavior pattern, this belief system for so long that I do not know how to get myself out of it, there are times, and this does not apply to everybody, so use your own wisdom. There are times when you actually have to make it bigger. You have to make the bad behavior bigger in order to get yourself out of it. So, for example, if I am in a bitchy, whiny mood, I have a go-to that if I call and say, I need to be really bitchy for a minute, she'll be like, yep, okay. And I do, and I go all the way through that bitching and whining and how right I am and da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and I go all the way through until I am laughing about how ridiculous it was. I make it bigger until I pop through the other side, because sometimes it's not about pulling back. Sometimes it's about going all the way through. That does not apply if you've got addiction. That doesn't, like, I'm not talking about dangerous behavior here, but I am talking about just, you'll know if this applies to you, okay? So sometimes give yourself permission to go big with it, get really exaggerated, and you'll just know when you're done. You'll kind of deflate it like, well, okay, that was done. All right, moving on. That was fun. And so give yourself permission to be powerful in your relationship, starting with your relationship with yourself. What do you need? You are the co-creator of your life. What are you going to create? Direct the energy intentionally, fully. Bring in possibilities into your vibration, into your energy, and be the powerful, magnificent you that you know you truly are. Thanks for listening, everybody. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in to Lighten Up with Jen and Sherry. To find out more about Sherry's craniosacral and massage therapy practice by checking out her website at www.bodywisehealthcare.com. BodyWise is nourishment for the mind, body, and being. If you're part of an organization that could benefit from my dynamic, engaging public speaker for your next live event, or if you'd like to find out more about her programs offered, Jen can be reached at her website, www.jenhalterman.me.